You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Thomas Fisher from Faith Lutheran Church in Elma, New York. Good morning, Pastor Fisher.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
I am well. And you, sir?
Good. We're actually having a little bit of snow here today.
I see that. Wow. It's a little chilly, but some snow. And I bet where you are, you probably get a good amount of snow, huh, from the lake?
Well, this has been a very, very unusual winter for us. We have had very little snow based on the average.
Well, tell us about your congregation, Faith Lutheran Church, Elma, New York.
We are a congregation about 20 miles southeast of Buffalo, New York, and started in 1929 and largely a farming community, and started by a group of local folks. One of the interesting pastors we had here was in 1949, the congregation called a fellow named Walter A. Meyer, Jr. And he was our pastor here and actually was the first resident of our parsonage. We've been going along since then. I'm the 10th pastor to serve here, and now it's kind of converting into a little more of a high-tech extended suburb, if you will, of Buffalo, and then we're seeing some growth. So we have some exciting times.
Well, thanks be to God for the growth in the community there and the opportunities of Faith Lutheran Church to proclaim the good news of Jesus to the folks in Elma, mm-hmm. New York. We are studying John chapter 1, verses 19 through 34 today. Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to dig into this text?
The part here with John the Baptist is such a wonderful segue into the New Testament and the Gospels of Christ. It just takes the Old Testament and wraps it up with a nice bow and hands it over to Jesus. It's such a wonderful, wonderful part of the Scriptures.
All right, John chapter 1, verses 19 through 34 is what we're studying today with Pastor Fisher, and hope you can join along for the study today, listeners. And if you have a question or comment along the way, give us a call or an email. 314-821-0850 is the number in St. Louis, or toll-free in North America, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. And this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." So this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" Pastor?
It's really interesting that here we have, to start out, some of the most fundamental prophecies of the coming of the Messiah. Here we have the learned leaders of the Jewish faith coming out when they should understand these things, but they say, "Are you the Christ or the Anointed One?" Takes us back to Daniel chapter 9 of the prophet spoken by Daniel, who will come in the last times. He says, "No, I am not." "Are you the prophet?" Prophet Moses himself proclaimed in the Scriptures when before the Israelites were allowed into the promised land. And then he says, "Are you Elijah?" And brings us back to that last chapter in the book of Malachi. In each of the three instances, John says, "I am not." But what he does say, he says, "I am a voice crying out, 'Make way, make straight the way of the Lord.'" And what a wonderful testimony that John is stepping aside already, and he gives us an "I am" that is not gospel, but he opens up the whole book of John when John the Baptist says, "I am not," but Jesus later on in seven occasions says, "I am the bread of life, I'm the light, I'm the good shepherd, the resurrection, and I am the way and the truth, the life, and I am the true vine." And the writer, John, the writer of the gospel, did such a beautiful job of tying Christ into the center stage of salvation introduced by John. It's just a very nice piece of scripture.
He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." Yeah, he said clearly, did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked, they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?"
Yeah, and then he brings up Isaiah, "Make straight the path, one who is coming after the one who introduces." Here's John the Baptist introducing Christ to the world with all the crowds, multitudes from Judea all around him now. That must have been quite a sight wherever John was doing his baptizing, presumably down near the Jordan River.
And he said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said."
Making straight assumes there's something that's crooked. Make straight, turn back to the Lord. In the book of Luke, we hear John the Baptist cry out, "You brood of vipers, why did you come out here to see?" And so here he is, make straight, return to the Lord, a return in repentance, which was John the Baptist's baptism, not the one of Christ, but the one of repentance, so that their hearts can be turned to the Lord that's coming. We'll get to the next part the next day when John the Baptist cries out again, the Lamb of God.
Anything else up through verse 23 before we go on to 24 through 28?
I think that's pretty good.
All right. Now, they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing.
Here's the Pharisees, the leading leaders of the Jewish faith, and they asked him, "Who are you? Why are you baptizing then?" Because here's John outside of the Jewish system doing something strange to them. And since they controlled the system, they were very nervous about what John was doing because he was gathering such crowds around him. And John answers them right back, "I baptize with water, but one, among you stands one you do not know." Or else they would have recognized the fulfillment of the prophets. "He comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." And untying a sandal strap back in that time was pretty much one of the most humblest things you could do. And John didn't even feel worthy to do that, understanding who it was. And it's just, and they took place in Bethany, which is a very familiar stomping grounds for Jesus, where John was doing his baptizing.
Why are you baptizing? You're neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet. I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie.
John is a little later on. He says, "I must become less, and he must become greater."
Mm-hmm.
And what a humbling witness for John the Baptist to understand who this Christ was and what he was there to do. Such a wonderful gift he was given, and we knew that from Elizabeth and Zechariah at his birth, that he would be set aside to introduce this Christ.
These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. So where is all this happening?
Bethany was up fairly high in elevation, and he says across the Jordan. So we're not really sure exactly where the baptizing was taking place. We presumed it was in the Jordan River, but it could have been in some other body of water. But we knew it was not in Jerusalem, and we knew it was not in the area around the temple or so forth, where there were areas where there were pools of water where people would go in for healing. This was outside of the gates, across the Jordan. And of course, the Jordan River is a very famous location, especially in that area where the Israelites came in and crossed the Jordan when it was dried up. And here's Jesus again coming up, and we believe that he was taken away from there into a wilderness and tempted. It's just a very special place in biblical geology.
Anything else, looking at these first verses up through 28, 19 through 28, Pastor, anything else we can learn from this or that you would like for us to learn from this before we look at the next section?
I find it interesting that the Pharisees didn't come out themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They sent the priests and the Levites.
Hmm.
And I find that it's interesting that they did not have the interest or feel that it was worthy of them. So they sent the lower level folks to go check on who this John the Baptist is and come back and let me know. They didn't seem to put much stead in it. But then the Pharisees now get into the act. Well, who are you guys? You know, what are you doing there? And all of a sudden, they're sensing that something deeper is going on here.
We're studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Thomas Fisher from Faith Lutheran Church in Elma, New York. We're in John chapter 1, verses 19 through 34. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. The email address, KFUO@KFUO.org. We'll take a break. When we come back from that break, we'll take a look. It looks like we might have an email question. We'll be back here in just a little bit. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
Jesus once said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." I'm Pastor Mark Hawkinson. On the next Jubilation, I'll share faith-strengthening music, and I'll talk about how Jesus is laying down his life for you means you get to take yours up again, all the way to heaven. More on that taken up type life on the next Jubilation Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
God's Word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We're studying the Daily New Testament reading with Pastor Thomas Fisher from Faith Lutheran Church in Elma, New York. John chapter 1, verses 19 through 34 is what we're studying today. Jan sends us a question today. Why does Jesus call John Elijah? And references here in Matthew chapter 11, verses 11 through 15. Let me read that for us. "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Pastor, why does Jesus call John Elijah? Your thoughts?
That is a very good question, Andy. And first, we go back to where Elijah is introduced as coming, which is at the last verse in the book of Malachi, and it's chapter 4, verse 5 and to the end. And it says, "See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse." So here we have Elijah, who wore very rugged clothes, was a recluse, lived in the wilderness, and prophesied to that great and dreadful day of the Lord, here comes John the Baptist, who apparently lived in the wilderness himself, also wore rough and rugged clothes, and here he comes actually on that day of the Lord and prophesies, the one who stands before me, I can't even untie his sandal. So actually, John the Baptist is standing in for not only the caricature, but also the prophecy of Elijah. And that Matthew chapter 11, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. He's the last one, and there the prophecy ends. The day of the Lord has come. And if you're willing to accept it, he is Elijah, maybe not necessarily in person, but in purpose, who is to come. He who has ears to hear, which is a very important call in Scripture, let him hear. But what shall I compare this generation to? And again, it's the children again. And this, again, goes back to the book of Malachi, where the hearts of the children to their fathers and the hearts of the fathers to their children. In other words, we stop being selfish and turning ourselves into our own selves, turn ourselves back to our families, turn ourselves back to the Lord. So it's somewhat of a very, very strong metaphor, but Jesus uses that himself.
Well, thanks for the question, Jan.
Good question.
Good question. Are we ready to go on to verse 29 and following, Pastor?
Yes.
All right, here we are. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." So the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.'" Pastor?
This is after the baptism, and here we have the next day. Apparently Jesus came back to see John the Baptist, and now John knows who he is because of what he saw. And he not only claims him to be the Messiah, he now goes even further and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Wow, what a statement from John the Baptist. We know he was in the wilderness, but somehow he had gotten the Scriptures, either by divine means, or he actually, maybe even went to the temple and so forth for the various required festivals. But it's such a powerful statement, the Lamb of God. Which already points us to the crucifixion.
"I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel."
And apparently this is an allusion that to the fact that John the Baptist did not know who Jesus was until he was revealed. And the revealing was when the Trinity shows up in the Jordan with Jesus in the water getting baptized, the Spirit coming down like a dove, and then the Father himself saying, "This is my Son." After something powerful like that, then John knew that this is the one who ranks before me because he was before me, the Christ from the foundation of the world. Just very powerful statements.
And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him." So he saw this happen. "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove. It remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'"
Here's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Here's the Spirit coming and reveals himself as a dove. The dove is a sign of peace. It's interesting that when the Spirit came down on the disciples at Pentecost, it was tongues of fire, indicating that we have the Spirit, but it's more of a law concept. Here, this is a pure gospel concept. The Spirit coming down in the form of a dove, and also it remained on him. In other words, the Spirit was anointing Christ as the Savior, and really at this time, when Jesus is being baptized, this is really when our sins are being put on him. Jesus didn't need to be baptized. John later says, I need to be baptized. But Jesus says, no, let it be so now so that the righteousness can be fulfilled. So here's that great switch now where Jesus, the sinless one, now takes on our sin and becomes the sinful one, so that John the Baptist and others that follow that believe can be the sinless one by belief in his death and resurrection. Martin Luther calls that the great switch, the great transfer, where our sins are now left in that tomb by belief, and we now have that righteousness of Christ. And you can just kind of see all that happening with Jesus in the Jordan.
And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God.
And now he's revealing that this is not only Elijah the prophet and so forth, but this is the Son of God because of what God said in the river. And it also brings us back to that mountain of transfiguration that we speak about this Sunday. Where John the Baptist wasn't there, but again, God comes and says, this is my son. And such a powerful witness that now John the Baptist knows.
Looking over the text as a whole, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text as a whole, verses John chapter 1, 19 through 34?
I think in the big picture, what the evangelist John does is simply tie up the Old Testament prophecies and bear them all very directly on Jesus. That he finally kind of wraps it up and says, I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. And here is the kind of the end of our Epiphany season where John the Baptist can witness directly, this is the guy, this is the Son of God, this is to the whom the one to whom all of the prophets and Moses all point to. And it just makes that transition into our ministry of Christ. It's interesting that there's only Matthew and Luke cover Jesus' birth at all. But all four Gospels, once we get to John the Baptist, they all light up, and all of those Gospels all begin with John the Baptist and continue from there. It's such an important platform for Jesus when he builds his ministry.
We've been studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Thomas Fisher from Faith Lutheran Church in Elma, New York. Pastor Fisher, thanks for spending time studying God's Word with us today in John chapter 1.
It's been my pleasure.
God bless you and all the saints there at Faith Lutheran Church in Elma, New York. Coming up in a little bit, Creation Club with Pastor Wirth. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news for over 90 years.